you underline in that text. The first one is found in verse 11, and that is found three more other times there, husband, the heart of her husband. And I want you to underline that, because here was what is a virtuous woman? She's one who was faithful to her husband. You will find that Mary was a very faithful woman to Joseph, even though she was accused of things that were not true. The second word is found in verse 13. And when I look at that word there in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And underline the hands, that's the second word. And that word is mentioned, I believe, seven times in this chapter, dealing with the hand. Now, whereas the husband, she was faithful to her husband, but she was fruitful with her hands. You will find seven times it talks about the hands of a virtuous woman, how involved she is into making the family successful. I tell you right now, I have to thank the Lord for Marilyn. You know, when I retired from senior pastor several years ago, 14 years ago, whatever it was, and now we're doing these interns, but I thought about Marilyn never did retire. She's still doing the job, although I help her, don't I, honey? Right, I drink the coffee that you perk every morning and eat the eggs and that you cook for me. And no, I vacuum all the floor. You know, I do a few things in the house. But you know why? Because I think about the fact that she's fruitful with her hands. She is there, and I think Mary was this way. But she was not only faithful to her husband and fruitful with her hands, but she, most of all, her fulfillment was in the household. Look there in verse 15. She ariseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Underline that word, because I thought about that. What was her, you know, I really get upset when you fill out an application, if a woman fills out an application, and they want to know your occupation, and if you put, they say, well, you know, what do you do? Well, by the way, you're not a housewife, you're a homemaker. You're a homemaker. That's the word household here, and a job that we men could not do. I think I mentioned this last week or week before, my good friend Bill Rice, who is like John Stevens. He can do very little when it comes to all these extra things that need to be done. And he told me a few months ago, or about a year and a half ago, when I saw him, he said, and Mary was standing next to him, his wonderful wife, he said, you know, I can't do anything to preach. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do laundry. I don't know how to do anything. And so I'm hoping I die first. But if Mary dies first, we have the funeral in the morning and the wedding in the afternoon. Well, I don't think that's the way it ought to be, but he was kidding, of course. But we realize the important role of a mother, of a wife. And I think Mary was a virtuous woman, an army of strength, as I look at her. Notice also, go back into the New Testament with me and go over there to Matthew's Gospel, because we want to look here at the, you know, there was not only a virtuous woman, but there was the rumors about Mary and Joseph. Look there in chapter 1 of the book of Matthew. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, now keep in mind, this is a Jewish passage, and this is the first phase. They were actually engaged, and then they were going to come together later with the consummation of the marriage. But even though it says her husband, that's not the consummation of the marriage as yet. But notice what it says here, because the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Verse 18. as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, as the word espouse has the idea, it would engagement part of it. Although in those days that was considered part of the marriage, even though no consummation had taken place yet. Before they came together, boy, God is wonderfully protecting the past, the birth of our Lord and the Virgin Mary. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then just Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. Actually, what it meant is he was going to divorce her. Even though they had not been together yet, but that was the Jewish custom of that day. And I'm glad God intervened on that. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And God had to show Joseph that Mary was as pure as the new-driven snow, and it was okay. But the rumors went on all through their life that Jesus was an illegitimate child. If you don't believe that, sometime look with me to John 8 and verse 41 there. But I'll not take time tonight. So there was the rumors. But notice something else about Mary, I think made her virtuous, made her like a strength of arm, an army of strength, was the fact that there was the rumors, there was the gossip about her, no doubt all of her life. But a thief thought about something else. She raised unbelieving children. Whew. What? Mary raised unbelieving children? Yes, that she did. And Joseph. Now we know that Joseph, after Jesus was 12 years of age, in chapter 2 of Luke, when he was 12 years of age, that's the last account you have of Joseph. That's it. He goes off the scenes. I'm convinced Joseph died. So Mary, this armor of strength, with these rumors, without a husband, raising children, Jesus in the home, never did anything wrong. And there were children who did not believe. Now think with me for a moment. Turn with me to two references, if you will, please. Turn with me to Matthew 13. You're in Matthew, so turn over there to the 13th chapter for a moment. Then we'll get back to John later. But in Matthew 13, and verse 56, Matthew 13, and they're talking about Jesus. Now, is not this the carpenter's son? That's Joseph. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? You ever deal with a Catholic with that passage? Try that sometime. That's an interesting venture to do because they did not believe that Mary had any other children. She lived a normal life after the birth of Jesus. But when I say normal, how would you live a normal life with a perfect son in your home and brothers and sisters are imperfect? And what a time that must have been. But think with me, before we go to the other passage I want you to look at, think with me, the first son, the first one on the list here, let's go back to verse 55. And not this, the carpenter's son, is not his mother called Mary, and his brother, James. Now, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Anybody know what book he wrote? Say it out if you know. Book of James. Later on, they got saved. And then Judas, that's not Iscariot, the last name there. What book did he write? Anybody? Jude. Well, you notice, I'll not call my name Judas. He calls himself Jude. I don't want to be identified with that other bad fellow. But turn now back to John, this time not to the 19th chapter, but turn over there, if you will, to John 7. Because Jesus was raised in a family with brothers. Dad, no doubt, was gone. He had died. But when you go to the 7th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, look there, if you will, please, in verses 1 through 5. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said unto him, Depart hence, his brother, and go into Judea. Now let me stop right here. A lot of times when you see the word brethren, you assume that's a spiritual brother, right? We're brothers and sisters, right? Amen? That's not what he's talking about here. A brother, Jesse's my brother because he believes in the same God and Savior that I do. But look at the text here. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go to Judea, and the disciple also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself in the world. Look at verse 5. For neither did his brethren, what? Can't be talking about a spiritual brotherhood, because if it's spiritual, they'd believe, right? They don't believe. So it's a physical relationship. So here's Jesus raised in a home with these four brothers and sisters as well. We didn't give us the number of them, name. But think with me that it wasn't until after he began his public ministry. I believe it was after his death, burial, and resurrection. They came to know this truly is the Son of God. Such an impact on James' life that he wrote the book of James and became a pillar in the church. And Jude wrote that tremendous book of Jude, one chapter. So we see here this virtuous woman. Now go to Luke real quick, chapter 1. Because I want you to see something else that made her a army of strength. As you look at Luke chapter 1, there are three things that I brought to you. Chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel. Look with me at verses 26 and 27. For here, Mary gets a heavenly visitor. 26 and 27. Now in the sixth month, the angel, now before this, in verse 24, 25, he's talked about the birth of John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than Jesus. And so we find, verse 26, then 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from Galilee to the city of Galilee, to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused for a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, and the woman came unto her and said unto her, Hail, thou highly favored among women. Now, first thing I want to point out here is there's a heavenly visitor. How many people of the Bible have had heavenly visitors? Not a whole bunch of them. But this is the kind of, she's a vessel used for God. She's going to get a message. You're going to have a child. And look at verse 28, a little more here. She is not only has a heavenly visitor, but she's highly favored here. Look at verse 28 and 29. And the angel said unto her, that came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Would you underline that thought, among women? It doesn't say she's blessed above women. I think that's key. You don't put Mary on a pedestal, nor do you put her in the gutter. I am thankful for Mary and her life, but I don't have to go to Mary to get to Jesus. There is one mediator between man and God, and the man Christ Jesus. Let me rephrase that. Don't go to the to God except through Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. My mother was Roman Catholic. In her later life, she converted to Catholicism. And I had a hard time dealing with her to see all that. To this day, I don't know if Mom really made a profession of Christ. She counted on the sacraments and Mary. I wanted to count on the scriptures and Jesus. So we see here a heavenly visitor, an army of strength in that, a highly favored among women. And notice, humbly speaking, if you go all the way now to verse 47 in that same chapter, look with me at verse 47. I'll have to go at verse 46. And Mary said, we have with a magnificent saying of Mary here. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God," who? I get that. Mary needed a Savior the same as you and I needed a Savior. Would you note that? That's so key. And we cannot put Mary on a pedestal, but don't put her in the gutter either. She is highly favored among women. She's the one that God chose to bear our Lord Jesus Christ. But also know that she is needed a Savior. Now think with me. We look at this character, Mary, virtuous, a vessel used for God. But think with me now. The care for Mary. Go back to our passage there only for a minute, but we'll look at it here. Let's read again verse 26 and 27 over there of chapter 19. "And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother." Now, did you ever notice the first three sayings of our Lord all dealt with others? Others. Others. The first one, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do," that had to do with others. When he said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," that's others. And the third one now, Mary. I'm gonna leave, but Mary, I want to make sure she's taken care of. And then I think about, again, one dealt with forgiveness, one dealt with the future, and the other one dealt with the family. Now think with me the need Mary had. She needed a home. Keep in mind, she's an armory of strength. I'll get him out. I must be too tired tonight. Forgive me. Of strength, and yet she needed a place. She needed a home, someone to take her into her home. Are you ready for this? And to take her into her heart. And that man's name is John. So that deals with the third thought here. First, we see the character of Mary. Then we see the care for Mary, how there has got to be somebody. But now notice the credentials of the Apostle John, because he's the one God selected. Now, there are four reasons why I believe our Lord selected John. Number one, he was tender. He was tender. No person on earth is more tender than our Lord. And he wanted somebody who was tender. That's why I don't think he could have picked Peter. I don't know why. I don't think he could have picked some of the other disciples. He is the disciple. If you go over there to the 13th chapter, I'll not take time of John's gospel. Well, you're not far from it, so let's just go over there real quick, John 13, because in that 13th chapter here, we see the tenderness of our Lord and the tenderness of John. Go over there, 13th chapter, and look over there, if you will, please, I'll get it here in a minute. Stay with me. Verse 21. wonder that looked funny. That's chapter 12. Verse 21, when Jesus had said, thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another and doubted to whom he spake. Now there was leaning on who? Jesus' breast, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now I want you to notice something. Look at verse 23. He's leaning, but in verse 25, he's lying on the breast of Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus made such a statement. One of you is going to betray me. And John, I think, affected him so much. I don't want it to be me. So he got as close to Jesus as he could. That's tenderness. Boy. And so he wanted someone that was tender. I also think he was someone that learned how to love other people. You know, I think loving other people is more than just God. I think it's learning how to do it. It's learning how to love other people. Again, he had a heart to get as close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go to 1 John, particularly the 4th chapter, what's that chapter all about? Love, 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 love. So he not only was tender here, but he was trained to love other people. I will not take time, but you go to the 4th chapter, it is full of the love of God in that chapter, written by John, the apostle. I hope we learn to love people. Some are not easy to love. Somebody said to me one day, that guy is not easy to love. And I said, in God's eyes, neither are you and I. We're just not easy to love. Because we just want to go our own way, say our own things, do our own agenda. But I'm thankful that John learned to love. Matter of fact, just take a quick moment. We'll go to that 4th chapter of John, because I just was going to avoid it. But I don't think I could do that tonight. But when you go to that 4th chapter, he deals with that subject. Look there in chapter 4 of 1 John. This is written by this apostle who not only was tender, but was trained to love. 1 John chapter 4. And notice here, and by the way, let's begin at verse 8, sorry, because here I find the definition of love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? That's your definition. You know what love is? It's God. It's God. It's why he came in flesh 2,000 years ago to express that love. So he defined love in verse 8, and he declared love in verse 9. And this was manifest the love of God, verse 9, toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that he might live through him. It's one thing to say, I love you. God didn't say that without saying, I'll do it. He declared his love 2,000 years ago. And then notice verse 11, because in that verse I see the debt of love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We have a debt to pay. That debt is the love of God. And I'm still paying that debt, and you will too. Look at verse 12, where we not only see here the definition of love, the declaration of love, the debt of love that we haven't paid off, but the development of love. Look in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is what? Perfect. That word protect means mature. Maturing. We're maturing. Don't tell me you're maturing because you could memorize this whole Bible I hold here today. Still not be maturing. You don't love people. That's what he's saying. He's saying in there, well, that word perfected means to be maturing in love. And the word dwelleth here means to feel at home in. To help feel at home in your life. So he was tender. He was trained. And he was trustworthy. I thought about that. I don't know where the other disciples were. I remember they all fled. But somehow John came back to the cross. I often wonder, were any of the others there? It's not clear that they were. I don't think they were. But John was there. And when Jesus looked, he saw John and he thought, well, I can trust him. I want to ask you a question tonight. Can God trust you? Can God trust me? Can he trust us? He was by Mary as one who loved. He was concerned for her. I think John might have, I don't know, put his arm around her shoulder and just expressed that tenderness and that training of love that he had and just showered her with love. Gave her so much love. Showered her. I get the words out. I'm having trouble with my words tonight. He was also trustworthy. And finally, I believe there was a fourth reason. He chose John because he was tender. He chose John because he was trained to love, 1 John chapter 4. He was tender and he also was trained, but he was trustworthy, but he also had a testimony. Turn to the last chapter of the Gospel of John. Look there with me for a few moments as we close. It is interesting, chapter 21, and look there with me as you come down to verse 18. First of all, he's talking about Peter here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, I think Peter was probably middle age at that time, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and others shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Stretching the hands means that he would be nailed to a cross. Then spoke verse 19, he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter chose, you remember, history will bear that he chose to be crucified upside down. I cannot be crucified the way my Lord was. No doubt he thought of the denial that he had taken place in his life. But then verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, what? Whom Jesus loved. Who we know that's John, right? He's tender. He's trained to love. He's trustworthy. Now he's going to deal with his testimony. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. Chapter 13 of John's, we looked at that. Said, Lord, which is thee that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, here's Peter. Open, you know, I said, I'm going to know Peter when I get to heaven because his mouth would be in the shape of his foot. Peter said to him, to Jesus, Lord, what about this guy? What about John? Jesus singles John out. Now, Peter singled him out in a negative way. But Jesus is going to single him out in a positive way. Jesus said unto him, verse 22, if I will that thou tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then verse 23, and with the saying abroad among the brother that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not to him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Do you realize that John the Baptist, John the Apostle John, was the only disciple that was not martyred in death? He was placed on the Isle of Patmos, and guess what he saw? He saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. He actually fulfilled this. He said, what if I want him to be here of my coming? And John the Baptist lived and wrote about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Man, that thrills my soul. What a testimony John had. Of the disciples Jesus chose, he chose John to take care of his mother because he was tender. He was trained to love. He was trustworthy. And he certainly had a testimony. Wow. I would like to have been meeting. I look forward to meeting John, but before he died, just to talk about some of the things about his life. What an unusual man. And so we come to that thought. Mary, that third saying of Mary. Go back to John as we close, the 19th chapter. Woman, behold thy son. Woman here referring to tender words. Behold, John, behold thy mother. Take good care of her. God, help us. Help us tonight to be tender. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just choose you for an unusual task with other people because he could trust you, because you're tender, and because you have a testimony that is good. I normally don't bring people's names up in the church, but I want to say thank you for those who take care of Brother Humphreys. You go get him. I miss him tonight. Is there a reason? Is he sick? Is he okay? Pigeon Forge, okay. That'd be Stephen. Just go someplace. But when I see you men, think of Alan and Stephen, Tickley. Thank you, fellas. That's what our church needs. That tenderness. That testimony. I look forward to every Sunday to you guys bringing him in. With his smile. And then Stephen back there uses him to be the one of the greeters. Here's a guy who can't see. He's one of our greeters. Isn't that great? That ought to do something to your heart tonight. And I thought to myself, so many people who are well and can see could be at church and are not. But here is my good friend, Stephen. He always has a smile on his face. I say, Stephen, this pastor, how are you? Oh, you sound fine. How are you, pastor? You doing all right? How's your wife? And I sometimes want to say, she's giving me trouble, but I think he'd rebuke me on that. He'd say, no, she's not. That's what we need in our church. That's what we need. We need more Apostle Johns in our churches. Thank you, Lord, for what you have to say to us tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you again, Pastor Stevens. I was just thinking of a negative example in our current events with someone disrespecting our flag that wants to represent our country. I think they deserve to be voluntarily resigned, but I was just thinking of a parallel with that, though, that we carry the name Christian, but yet so many people, the way they live their lives, disrespect Christianity. And so I'm not going to, again, preach a junior sermon under you, but that's just something I was thinking about here lately, so I really appreciate the lessons tonight. All right, well, I guess first of all, for prayer and praise time together, I would mention again, pleased to have the Mills return to us. Any updates you wanted to share, Brother Mills? Not to put you on the spotlight, but give you opportunity. Thank you. Very good. Well, thank you for that. We're so glad to see you. It's an encouragement to us. Brother Tweed had texted me, and he hopes all is well with our family and the church family. He just wanted to send an update on his knees. And he had, at this time, he said he was going to have the last injection of 3 in both knees, which is, in his words, quite an adventure. He and Miss Susie won't be here tonight, obviously, as a result of those injections. And so just please be praying for him. I had mentioned that I hope that was bringing him some relief. And he just replied back, it's very different for sure. So I think that's his humble way of saying it is still quite painful. And so do remember Brother Jeff. Also had an update on Brother Brent. Let me find where that one went. Last update I had on Brent was that he saw the ortho and endocrinologist and infectious disease medical doctors. Chest reconstruction healing well. Reason for him being so sick lately was due to the IV antibiotics causing kidney failure and anemia. So the MD has stopped all antibiotics. Labs yesterday looking better, but still a ways to go. Doctors hoping his body will kick in and continue to heal and not need further intervention. So that's the last I have on Brother Brent. So do remember him and Sister Shalene. Any updates, Miss Gretchen? Lord. All right, we'll continue to pray for Miss Cheryl Good's recovery here. Alan. Good. Okay. It's the first I was made aware of Crohn's. Okay. So do remember Brother Don Young. Glad to hear he's doing well, but just pray for him. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you again, Don. We miss you. We miss those that are not here. All right. Any others? Mrs. Mills. Okay, so do remember Brother Mills going back to Charlotte Monday, PET scan, labs. And safety while they're in travel, that's not just around the corner. It's quite a trip going back and forth to Charlotte. Miss Kim. Okay, very good. And that's somewhat encouraging to have a narrowed focus on this. And we'll just pray that the Lord will make it very plain any action that should take place. And I know those tests are uncomfortable. Some of my brothers have had some of those that you don't do your best sleeping when you're being tested. Sure, okay. Also an unspoken. Are there other unspokens? Okay, Miss Glenda, Miss Mary. Miss Annie, Miss Carol, I think I saw the Mosses there. Who else did I miss? I don't want to overlook anyone. Miss Gretchen, Miss Sandy, okay. I don't want to make light of that. I just I want that to be mentioned with whatever is acceptable. Very much understanding some things are of private nature and some things are very significant. And we'll just still take those to the Lord. Okay, any others? Ms. Glenda. Oh, good. Great.